no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome to the Relic Radio Show, back this Tuesday with another 60 minutes of radio drama. We'll hear first this week from the Textron Theater, their episode from December 8th, 1945, titled Angel Street. After that, it's Lucille Ball and My Favorite Husband, and her episode titled Numerology. That one first aired May 14th, 1950.
This is the Textron Theater.
And this is Helen Hayes.
Textron, maker of finest textile products, through the cooperation of America's great retail stores, presents a new radio series of finest plays starring Miss Helen Hayes. And here is Miss Hayes.
Thank you. Tonight's play is Angel Street by Patrick Hamilton. Angel Street was tremendously successful on the stage, both in London and New York, and also in the movies, where it was known as Gaslight. As our guests, we're happy to welcome Sir Cedric Hardwick to play Sergeant Ruff, and Mr. Boris Karloff to play Mr. Manningham.
Textron performs every step in creating radiant, finished fashions for you and your home. Textron products are made to a music that begins with a whirl of spindles. Magic man-made fibers are spun on whirling spools till the Textron yarn is feather-light and giant-strong. Woven to the music of harp-like looms, the Textron patterns rise like melodies, and the Textron dyes are chords of color. Warp of shadow, weft of sun, glimmering, shimmering miles of loveliness. Click go the cutters, hum go the stitchers, with parachute precision in a flowing undertone, till the Textron products gleam in finished perfection. Draperies, bedspread, shower curtains, hostess coats, lingerie, menswear, myriads of fashions. And wherever it appears, the Textron label is a symbol of strength and beauty blended like music, every step of the way from the raw fiber to the finished Textron masterpiece. And here is Angel Street, starring Helen Hayes as Bella, Mr. Boris Karloff as Manningham, and Sir Cedric Hardwick as Sergeant Ruff.
The year is 1880. The city is London, a city where at night it is gloomy and damp and chill, where on the street the gas lamps cast feeble yellow glows curtained in fog, and the houses bulk formless and forbidding and mysterious. This is the story of what happened on one of those nights in one of those houses, a house on Angel Street. But there were many long and dreary nights that led to it. There was, to start with, the night when the housekeeper, Elizabeth, steeled herself to speak to her mistress about a matter which troubled them both.
Mrs. Manningham, you shouldn't sit here alone night after night.
I know, Elizabeth, but my husband has to work at night.
Well, I question it, ma'am. Just what does Mr. Manningham do at night?
I don't know, Elizabeth. I don't know.
And there was the night when Mrs. Manningham screamed.
What's the matter?
Oh, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. I was sitting here reading. I've been reading since 8 o'clock. That's not very long, is it, Elizabeth?
No.
No. And yet my eyes began to hurt. And then suddenly, Elizabeth, I couldn't make out what was on the printed page.
And there was the night after that when Mrs. Manningham told her husband what had happened.
And you scream for the servant?
Yes, Jack.
Bella, in future, will you kindly remember that you're my wife, and as such, you're not to humiliate us before a servant? You know, of course, what really happened last night.
What do you mean?
I mean nothing. Nothing happened. You imagined everything. I've noticed that you have an imagination, Bella. An abnormal imagination. A sick, diseased imagination, Bella.
And there were all the terrible nights that followed, when Mrs. Manningham imagined other things.
Bella, why did you take down this picture?
The picture? I didn't take it down, Jack.
It's down, isn't it? And Elizabeth didn't take it down because I asked her. Bella, confess. Confess the truth. You took down that picture.
No. No, Jack. No, 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 no.
Bella, where is the grocer's bill? I gave it to you, didn't I?
Yes, Jack, it's on the secretary.
It's not here.
It is, it must be.
It's not. Bella, what new trick are you playing on me?
It was there this afternoon, I put it there. This is a plot. This is a filthy plot. You're working against me, it's a plot. Jack, I don't know. I don't know why I do these things.
I do, Bella. Surely you haven't forgotten that... Ah, no, I shouldn't remind you of it.
Remind me of what, Jack? You started to tell me you've got to finish.
Well, Bella, it's just that in view of your actions, I find it strangely significant that your mother died insane.
That was the state of affairs in one gloomy house in the damp and chill city of London on the foggy night in 1880, when Jack Manningham exhibited a curious kindness towards his wife.
I've just thought of something, Bella.
Oh, Jack, what is it? I haven't done anything wrong again, have I?
Now, why should you be apprehensive, my dear? I've thought of something rather nice.
Something nice? Something nice, Jack?
Yes, I read in the paper that Mr. McNaughton, the celebrated actor, is in London for another season.
Yes, I read that too. What of it, Jack?
What of it? Now, what do you suppose?
Oh, Jack, dear. Do you mean it? Would you take me to see McNaughton? You wouldn't take me to see McNaughton, would you?
I not only would take you to see McNaughton, my dear, I'm going to take you to see McNaughton. That is, if you want to go.
Oh, Jack, what heaven! What heaven!
Well, my dear, you've been very good lately, and I thought it'd be well to take you out of here.
Yes. Oh, yes, Jack, dear, yes. That's what I need, you know, some little change, some attention from you. Oh, Jack, I'd be better. All those ghastly dreads and terrible, terrible fears would vanish, and I could go to bed feeling a normal, happy, healthy human being again. If only you'd be kind to me.
Oh, haven't I just said that I'm taking you to the theater?
Yes, dear, yes, you have. Oh, you've made me so happy, dear. I'm going to the play. Do you understand that, my husband? I'm going to the play.
You seem wonderfully pleased with yourself, Bella. I must take you to the theater more often, if this is the result.
Oh, Jack, I wish you could.
Well, I really don't know why we shouldn't. I used to like nothing so much when I was a boy. In fact, you may hardly believe it, but I even had... Bella. Bella.
What is it? What's the matter? What is it now?
I've no desire to upset you, Bella, but I've observed something very much amiss. Will you kindly rectify it at once when I'm not looking, and we will assume that it has not happened.
Amiss? What's amiss? Jack, don't turn your back on me. What has happened?
You're trying to make a fool of me, Bella. What I refer to is on the wall behind you. Now, if you'll kindly put it back, I'll say no more about it.
The wall behind me? What? Oh, yes. The picture has been taken down again. Yes, the picture. Who's taken it down? Why has it been taken down?
Yes, why indeed? Will you please take it from wherever you've hidden it and put it back on the wall again?
But I haven't hidden it, Jack. I didn't do it. Oh, Jack, look at me. I didn't do it. I don't know where it is.
Then, by heaven, you're mad and you don't know what you do. You unhappy wretch. You're stark, gibbering mad like your wretched mother before you.
Jack, if I am mad, you've got to treat me gently. If I commit these fantastic, meaningless mischiefs that I'm... then I'm certainly going off my head and must be treated kindly and gently so that I may get well. You must bear with me, Jack, bear with me. Not storm and rage. God knows I'm trying, Jack. I'm trying. Please believe me that I'm trying and be kind to me.
Listen to me, Bella. I'm going out.
No, Jack, no.
Yes, I'm going out, and I expect that the picture will be replaced before I return.
Oh, Jack, be patient with me. If I'm mad, be patient with
me. I've been patient with you long enough. The picture is not replaced. While I'm out, you're going to see a doctor, more than one doctor. Think upon that, Bella.
I'll find it, Jack. I'll replace it. Oh, don't go, Jack. Jack!
Well?
You're still going to take me to the theater, aren't you?
No, madam. Emphatically, I am not.
Mrs. Manningham?
Yes, Elizabeth.
There's a gentleman to see you, Mrs. Manningham.
To see me?
Yes.
There must be some mistake. He must want to see Mr. Manningham.
There's no mistake, ma'am.
But at this hour, I don't think I should.
I think you'd better see him, ma'am.
I know you'd better see me, Mrs. Manningham.
Oh, Mr. Ruff. I'll leave you, ma'am.
Oh, no, Elizabeth.
No, I think you'd better leave, Elizabeth.
Yes, sir. I'll be in the kitchen, Mrs. Manningham.
Who are you? Why have you come here at such an hour?
Well, to answer your second question first, madam, I've chosen this precise moment to call because I knew that your husband was out.
Who are you? Are you a doctor?
Nothing so learned, madam. Just a plain police detective.
Police detective? What do you want of me?
I want you to trust me, madam. I have some questions to ask you, and I want you to take a good look at me and see if you're not looking at someone to whom you can give your trust.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you. How long have you lived here, Mrs. Manningham?
We bought this house about 6 months ago.
You bought it?
Yes, I had a bit of money. My husband always wanted this house.
You had a bit of money, eh? That's very good. And does your husband always leave you alone like this in the evenings?
Yes.
And does he give you a free run of the whole house while he's out?
Yes. Well, no, not the top floor. Why do you ask?
Not the top floor.
No, no one goes up there.
Rather funny, hmm?
Funny? I don't know.
I think it is. Now, Mrs. Manningham, to ask a personal question. When did you first get the notion into your head that your reason was playing you tricks?
How did you know?
Well, never mind how I knew. When did it begin?
Only the last 6 months. In this house, things began to happen.
Which are driving you mad with fear?
Yes. Which are driving me mad with fear.
And has the top floor anything to do with it?
Yes, yes, it has. That's how all these dreadful horrors began.
Now you interest me. Tell me about the top floor.
I don't know what to say. It all sounds so incredible. It's when I'm alone at night. I get the idea that somebody's walking about up there. Up there at night when my husband's out.
It never struck you, did it, that it might be your own husband walking about up there?
Yes, that is what I thought. But I thought I must be mad. It was the light, the gas light. At first, when I couldn't see the print upon the page, I thought I was going blind. But then I realized that it was the gaslight. Someone had lit a light somewhere in this house, and then this light sank down.
Yes, that's just a question of instinct.
I did hear that somehow my husband had come back and was in the attic. Mr. Ruff, always when the light goes up again, 10 minutes later, I hear my husband's key in the lock.
I see. Mrs. Manningham, did you ever hear of Alice Barlow?
Alice Barlow, no.
Alice Barlow was an old lady who died many years ago.
An old lady years ago? What has she to do with me?
A great deal, I fancy, if you'll follow me patiently. Alice Barlow was an old lady of great wealth. It was not my privilege to know her, but it was my duty on just one occasion to see her. That was when her throat was cut open and she lay dead on the floor of her own house.
Oh, how horrible. Do you mean she was murdered?
The murderer was never discovered. But the motive was obvious enough. Her husband had left her the Barlow rubies, and it was well known that she kept them in her bedroom on an upper floor. In the attic, Mrs. Manningham.
But I don't see...
The murderer seemed to have got in about 10 at night and stayed till dawn. Apart, presumably, from the famous rubies, there were only a few trinkets taken. But the whole house had been turned upside down. The police decided that it must have been a revengeful maniac. I had other theories, but I was a nobody then and not in charge of the case.
What were your theories?
What if the killer didn't find the rubies? What if the only person who could tell him where they were hidden was lying dead on the floor? Can't you picture him, Mrs. Manningham? searching through the night, ransacking the place hour after hour, growing more and more desperate until at last the dawn comes and he has to slink out into the pale street, the blood and wreckage of the night behind?
Oh, how horrible indeed. And was the man never found?
No, Mrs. Manningham, the man was never found. But do you conceive it possible that he might never have given up hope of one day getting at the treasure which lay there? And how would he do that? Don't you think... Well, what's the matter, Mrs. Manningham?
Quiet, quiet. He's come back. Look at the light. It's going down. Wait. There. He's come back, you see? He's upstairs now.
Dear me, now, how very odd that is. How very odd indeed.
He's in the house, I tell you. You must go. He'll know you're here. You must go.
Quiet, Mrs. Manningham, quiet. You've got to keep your head. Don't you see my meaning yet? Don't you understand that this was the house?
House? What house?
The old woman's house, Mrs. Manningham. This house, here, these rooms, these walls. 15 years ago, Alice Barlow lay dead on the floor in this room. 15 years ago, the man who murdered her ransacked this house below and above, but could not find what he sought. What if he's still there searching, Mrs. Manningham? What if he is up there still searching?
But my husband... My husband is up there.
Precisely that, Mrs. Manningham, your husband. You see, I'm afraid you're married to a tolerably dangerous gentleman.
You see, the gas lamp doesn't cast much light in here either.
This is his bureau?
Yes, and the two bottom drawers are the ones he always keeps locked.
Let's see. Yeah, this is a tough proposition. I may have to force the lock. Well, to work.
Sergeant Ruff, why do you think my husband is...
The murderer of Alice Barlow? Well, madam, one of the acquaintances and relatives that I interviewed after the murder was a young man named Sidney Power.
Power?
Yes, Sidney Power. Conveys nothing to you?
No.
Well, Sidney Power was never a suspect, but somehow I remembered his face. I saw that face again just a few weeks ago. I made inquiries and found that the owner of that face now calls himself Manningham. There we are. First door opened. Now, let's see. Not much here. This brooch.
My brooch! And, oh, my watch.
His drawer, huh?
This watch I lost a week ago. My brooch has been missing 3 months. And he said he would give me no more presents because I lost them. He said that in my wickedness I hid them away. Inspector, is there anything else? Is there a bill there? Is there a grocery bill?
No, no. Oh, we have to open this second drawer.
Sergeant Ruff, look. Look.
What is it?
The gaslight. It's coming up. He'll be back in 10 minutes. Oh, you must get out of here.
Madam, listen to me for a second. That watch and that brooch, did your husband give those to you?
Yes.
Let me take them.
Here, take them. Take them, but go quickly.
Yes, and you must go quickly, too, to your room. Lock your door and keep it locked. Don't let your husband in, no matter what. Remember, Mrs. Manningham, he's a killer.
Then, Bella, may I ask why you had this door locked?
Oh, I came up to bed and locked the door.
You came up to bed?
Yes, Jack.
Then may I ask why you are still completely dressed?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you know anything about anything you do?
Yes, Jack.
Yes, Jack. Yes, Jack. Bella, did you replace the picture that I told you to replace?
No.
Bella, did you even look for the picture?
No. Yes.
Where did you look for it?
I...
Did you look for it in my bureau?
No, Jack, no.
Then why has the lock on the drawer been forced?
I don't know, Jack.
Now listen to me. Your dark, confused, rambling mind has led you into playing some pretty tricks tonight, has it not?
My mind is tired. I want to go to bed.
Your mind indeed is tired. Your mind is so tired that it can no longer work at all. You do not think, you dream. Dream all day long. Dream everything. Dream maliciously, incessantly. Don't you know that by now?
Dream? Are you saying I've dreamed all that happened tonight? Oh, God, have I dreamed?
What was this dream of yours, Bella?
I dreamed of a man. I dreamed of a man.
You dreamed of a man, Bella? What man did you dream of,
pray? A man. A man that came to see me. Oh, let me rest. Let me rest.
You gibbering wretch. I want to know more about this man. Do you hear? Do you hear me?
I dreamed.
Was I any part of this curious dream of yours, Mrs. Manningham?
Oh.
May I ask who the devil you are?
Me? Oh, apparently I am a mere figment of Mrs. Manningham's imagination.
Don't you think you'd better explain your business, sir?
Well, as a mere ghost existing only in your wife's mind, I can hardly be said to have any business. But perhaps if we went downstairs and let your wife get some rest, perhaps I could think of one or two curious things to tell you, sir.
Now then, sit down. Are you going to tell me your business, or am I going to fetch a policeman and have you turned out?
Ah, an admirable idea. Fetch a policeman, Manningham. Oh? Why do you wait?
Alternatively, sir, I can turn you out myself.
Yes, but why not fetch a policeman?
You give me the impression, sir, that you've got something up your sleeve.
Excuse me, Manningham, but do you notice the same thing I do?
Notice what?
That the light is going down in this room?
The light?
Yes, surely there. Ah, eerie, isn't it? Well, now I can talk freely.
Are you off your head, sir?
No, sir, just an old man seeing a ghost.
What ghost do you see, pray?
Why, it's the ghost of a woman, sir. An old woman who once lived in this house. Yes, in this very house. What things I imagine.
What are you saying?
Remarkably clear, I see it, sir. An old woman getting ready to go upstairs to bed at the end of the day. Why, there she is, look. She sits there, just there. Now it seems I see another ghost as well. I see the ghost of a young man, Mr. Manningham. A young man with murder in his eyes. Why, bless my soul, he might be you, Mr. Manningham. He might be you.
What's your game, sir?
And then I see the same man years later ransacking the house, ripping everything up, madly seeking the thing he cannot find. Oh, by the way, Manningham... Have you ever seen this brooch?
You know I have. I gave that to my wife.
And I know something else about this brooch, Manningham. I know it was on the list of articles stolen from that woman's house the night she was murdered.
You seem, sir, to have some very remarkable information.
It's more remarkable than you realize, Mr. Manningham. For instance, did you realize that this brooch has a secret catch that opens a hidden compartment? Yeah, it has truly. You just press here and... you see? And what have we here, Mr. Manningham? The Barlow rubies.
What?
Well, there you are, sir. You killed one woman for those rubies and tried to drive another out of her mind. And all the time they lay in your own bureau drawer. And all that they've brought you is a rope around your neck, Mr. Sidney Parr.
Do you imagine you're going to leave this room with that information in your possession?
Do you imagine, sir, that you are going to leave this room without suitable escort?
May I ask what you mean by that?
Only that I have men in the house already. Didn't you realize that they'd signaled their arrival from above, your own way in, when the lights went down? Suppose we open the door and see if I'm not right. Come in, gentlemen. Quick, catch him!
Quick on me, will you?
Time up!
Time up!
Time up!
Time up!
All right, boys.
Inspector? Inspector Ruff.
Mrs. Manningham?
Inspector, I want to speak to my husband.
Very well, my dear. What do you want to say?
I want to speak to him alone.
Alone?
Yes, alone. Won't you please let me speak to him alone? I beg of you to allow me. I'll not keep him long.
Well, I don't quite understand. Alone, huh? Oh, very well. This is anything but in order, but we'll wait outside. I'm afraid you must not be long, Mrs. Manningham.
Jack. Jack, what have they done to you? What have they done to you?
It's all right, Bella. Oh, you're clever, my darling. Terribly clever. Now get something to cut this rope. I can get out by way of the dressing room window and make a jump for it. Can you fetch something?
Yes. Yes, I can get something. What can I get?
There's a knife on the desk. Quick. Can you get it, Bella?
Knife? Yes, I'll get it for
hurry,
you.
Hurry, hurry. Quick and get it. That's right. Good. Cut me loose, Bella. Quickly, dear. Use the knife. Quickly.
Knife? What knife? Are you suggesting that this is a knife I hold in my hand? Have you gone mad, my husband?
Bella, what are you up to?
Or is it I who am mad? Yes, that's it. It's I. Of course it was a knife. Oh, dear, I've lost it, haven't I? I'm always losing things and I can never find them. I don't know where I put them.
Bella!
I must look for it, mustn't I? Yes, if I don't find it, you'll lock me in my room. You'll lock me in the mad house for my mischief. Oh, where could it be? Where shall I look? The desk! Perhaps I put it in the desk. No, it's not there. How strange. Oh, but here is a grocery bill. See, I've found it at last, you see. But it doesn't help you, does it? And I'm trying to help you, aren't I? To help you escape. But how can a mad woman help her husband to escape? What a pity. If I were not mad, I could have helped you. If I were not mad, whatever you had done, I could have pitied and protected you. But because I am mad, I've hated you. And because I am mad, I'm rejoicing in my heart, without a shred of pity, without a shred of regret, watching you glow with glory in my heart.
Bella.
Inspector! Inspector! Come and take this man away! Come and take this man away!
You have just heard Helen Hayes, Sir Cedric Hardwick, and Boris Karloff in Angel Street. Miss Hayes will be back in a moment to tell us about next week's Textron Theatre play. In almost every species except the human, it's the male animal that wears the gayest plumage. And that fundamental masculine liking for bright and dashing apparel still beats beneath the most somber double-breasted serge. So it's no wonder that men just out of khaki or blue are going all out now for Textron menswear. For Textron pajamas and shorts give a man a lion's share of the spectrum at last. Bright stripes, rich but not gaudy prints, and full-tone solid colors, gold, wine, green, royal blue, red. And Textron tailoring is something for the gayest bird. Pajamas cut and finished as handsomely and as comfortably as slack suits. Shorts good-looking enough to wear in a 100-yard dash. All turned out and tailored with that same meticulous precision Textron used in making parachutes for war. Yes, Textron color, Textron style, and Textron comfort are truly a masculine birthright. Now, if wives really understand us men deep down, they'll most certainly give us Textron menswear for a merry, merry Christmas. And here is Helen Hayes.
Thank you. Some weeks ago, the Textron Theater presented Chopsticks, the first radio drama written by the young playwright Luther Davis. It was received so enthusiastically that we have asked Mr. Davis to write his second radio drama for us. The result is next week's play, Miss Rutabaker Takes Off. Miss Rutabaker is a very inconspicuous young lady until she takes off. Our guest will be the young stage and movie star, Michael O'Shea. Until next week, then, this is Helen Hayes.
The adaptation of Angel Street was made by Robert Sanadella from the original stage play as directed and produced by Shepard Traub. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Vladimir Zelensky. Be sure to watch your newspapers for advertisements of Textron products being featured by stores in your community. Always look for the Textron label. Your assurance of strength and beauty blended like music every step of the way from the raw fiber to the finished Textron masterpiece. This is Frank Gallup.
Saturday night on CBS is the biggest show in town. So be sure to stay tuned for The First Nighter, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball. Yes, it's the Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. And now, let's look in on the Coopers. It's morning, and we find them at breakfast.
George, do you mind if I read at the breakfast table for once? This book is so fascinating, I can't put it down.
What kind of a book is it?
It's all about numerology.
Oh, that stuff. That's a lot of nonsense.
It is not. You ought to read the book yourself, Five.
Five?
That's your name in numerology. I just figured it out.
Oh, no.
Would you join me in another cup of two?
Now, wait just a minute. Before this thing gets out of hand, I think we better nip it in the three.
Oh, watch your language.
Liz, you'll have to admit this numerology stuff is bunk.
Now, George, numbers are very important. Why, some number may be influencing my life right now.
Yeah, come to think of it, I know a number that's not only influencing your life, it's threatening it right this minute.
What's that?
3850.
3850?
Yeah, that's the amount you were overdrawn last month.
Oh, I was?
Yes, what's numerology have to say about that?
Well, let's see now. See, you add them up. 3850, 3 and 8 are 10, and add 5 makes 18. Then you add the numbers in 18, 1 and... One and eight make nine.
Well?
Here's $9. Call it even.
Oh, no.
Well, it was a good try. Really, George, numerology is important. For instance, even your name has to be right for you, or it might ruin your life. For all you know, you might be going through life with the wrong name.
Forget it.
Now, keep quiet, and I'll figure out the right one for you. Let's see, 2 and 3 are 5, and G is 6. See, it'll be better if you're something besides 5. It'll help our vibration.
Liz, aren't you happy with the way I vibrate?
Quiet. Now, we need a 4, and E is 2. There, that's the perfect name. Uh-oh.
What is it?
Genevieve.
Well, it'll be novel. Of course, you'll have to buy towels marked hers and hers.
I don't understand it.
Look, let's just leave it the way it is. Call me Five.
Yeah, well, maybe that is best.
Now, would you mind if I had breakfast? I'd like some eggs.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. 7!
I was afraid of that.
Yes, 3.
5 would like some 16s, please.
2 or 3, 5?
2, 7.
All right, and here's the mail. Mr. 6 just brought it.
Mr. 6?
Oh, he's a new mailman. She doesn't know him well enough to call him just by his number.
Oh, and is he mad? When he was delivering mail next door, he got bit.
No. Did that 9 bite him?
Right in the 12.
Oh, dear, and his legs were so important to him.
Now, that's enough.
I'll get your 16.
Say, here's a letter from our landlord. I hope he isn't raising the rent.
How can he? We have a lease.
Yeah, I know, but the lease is up the 15th of the month. Uh-oh. Just what I was afraid of.
What's the matter?
He's raising our rent to $250 a month.
$250 a month? That's more than double.
Gee, I didn't think Mr. Curry had that much nerve.
Oh, it isn't Mr. Curry. It's that domineering wife of his. She did this.
Liz, she's been dead for 5 years.
That wouldn't stop her.
You got all your buttons. The woman isn't living.
I know it, but he won't make a single move without her advice. She calls him every day on the Ouija board.
Oh. Oh, now, Liz.
Honestly, he really believes that stuff.
Well, what's the difference? It won't help us.
Wait a minute, George. According to numerology, this is one of our lucky days. Hey, why not ask Mr. Curry to come over tonight? Maybe we can talk him out of it.
Okay, that's a good idea. Oh, say, I'd better go. I'll be late for the bank.
Okay, goodbye, Five.
Huh? Oh, goodbye.
Just a minute. Why do you have that strange smile on your face?
I was just thinking of a cute little four I used to know.
Why, George...
Only teasing, honey. Give me a kiss.
Well, all right. You know, George, you're a five and I'm a three. I guess that's why we make such beautiful eights together.
Now, Liz, when Mr. Curry gets here, let me do the talking. I think this Ouija board stuff is just a neat excuse for raising the rent.
Can't I even put in a word edgewise?
No.
But I got so many nice, thin little words that would just fit in edgewise.
I'm sorry, Liz, but I want to handle this in my own way. Now, you keep out of it.
Oh, 6-3.
What?
That's my way of calling you names, and you'll never know what it means either. 9-1.
And a 4-7 to you.
Oh, what you said.
I'll get it. Well, good evening, Mr. Curry.
Oh, hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello, Mr. Curry. How are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. I'm sorry I'm late. Just as I was leaving the house, I had a call from my wife, Bernice.
Oh. Well, how is she? Was she? How'd the old girl feel?
Liz doesn't quite know how to ask about her, Mr. Curry. She thought maybe the weather down there might... Or up there. Or wherever she is might disagree with it.
It wouldn't dare.
Well, Mr. Curry, I guess you know why we asked you to come over.
Oh, I can guess.
Well, we feel this new rent you're asking is too high.
So do I. But Bernice insists on getting it.
Bernice? What'd she do, find a way to take it with her?
No, but I think she's working on it.
Mr. Curry, if you raise the rent that high, we'll simply have to move.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's too bad, too. This address is just perfect. 321 Bundy comes out 6, and that's just the right vibration for George and me.
Oh, you study numerology?
Yes. Do you?
I'm a 1.
I'm a 3.
I'm a 5.
We're all odd, aren't we? Don't answer that, George.
Bernice was a 1, too. The first time I ever met her, I said, "Are you 1? And she said, "Yes, are you 1, too? And then we got married.
Well, it was the same way with Liz and me.
Really?
Yeah, only she was 9 and I was 8 and we were 17.
Now stop that, George Cooper.
Mr. Cooper, you may not believe in numerology, but I do. And so does Bernice. We were talking about it just the other night. She called me on the upstairs Ouija.
You know, I've been thinking, Mr. Curry, do you suppose you could have made a mistake in Bernice's message? Maybe she meant to lower the rent.
You didn't know Bernice very well, did you? However, if you want, we can contact you again. I'll get my Ouija board out of the car.
You have one in the car?
Oh, yes. I always carry a Ouija board. Bernice is quite a backseat driver.
I'll get it. I'll be right back.
Of all the silly nonsense. Now what are we going to do, Liz?
We'll see what the old girl says this time.
Oh, don't tell me you believe in this Ouija board stuff, too.
Of course not, but I'm stronger than he is, and I can push the indicator wherever we want it.
Hey, quiet, here he comes.
Well, here's my Ouija board. Now, where should I put it?
Just bring it over here, Mr. Curry. We'll put it between us.
Oh, I'm so excited. I've never worked a board with anyone else before. I usually solo.
How many hours do you have in the air?
George, please, now, we have to have it quiet.
Already? Now, we just put the tips of our fingers on the indicator. Just your fingertips, Mrs. Cooper. Don't grab it with both hands.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, here we go. 1, 2, 3, testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. Are you there, Bernice? A. R.
F? What does that spell?
R.
Maybe you contacted Rin Tin Tin.
It doesn't sound like Bernice. Must be some mistake. I think you're pushing too hard, Mrs. Cooper.
No, I'm not.
Well, let's try again. Are you there, Bernice?
It says yes.
Bernice, I want to ask you again. Should we raise the Cooper's rent? Bernice says yes.
Bernice says no.
You're pushing the indicator.
I am not.
Oh, wait. It's spelling out something. T I L
Tilt.
You better let me try it alone, Mrs. Cooper. I think she's jealous of you.
Well, go ahead.
All right. Well, Bernice, what about the rent?
Three. Oh.
You have made her jealous. She raised the rent to
$300. $300?
I'm sorry, Mr. Cooper. There's nothing I can do about it.
Oh, I had to open my big fat Ouija board.
Here's a 35-second quiz on NATO. North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Why is NATO unique in American history? Because our participation in NATO marks the first time during peace that the United States has made commitments outside this hemisphere. Never before have we guaranteed a European nation's sovereignty. Never before have we received similar guarantees from other nations. NATO represents a forceful new program that has helped put Europe back on its feet, economically and militarily. More power to NATO. It really works.
Their landlord, Mr. Curry, on Ouija board orders from his departed wife, has raised their rent to $300 a month. Forced to move, the Coopers are busily going over the classified ads in the paper.
Did you find anything, Liz?
No, did you?
Not much. Oh, here's one. Beautiful cottage. Here's a house without a flaw.
What do they walk on?
F-L-A-W.
Ooh. Let me see it. Well, look at this ad. They're finally admitting how badly they build houses.
What do you mean?
Look, hillside home, reasonable. Hurry, this one won't last long.
Stop clowning. We'll be without a roof over our heads. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a good one at 423 Edgemont.
423? Oh, we couldn't live there, George. That address doesn't have the right vibrations for us. We need a 6.
Oh, now you're not going to start that numerology stuff again, are you?
I know. I'll make up a list of harmonious addresses, and then we'll go to some real estate agent and see if any of them are for rent.
Oh, Liz.
Yeah, give me a pencil and paper. You just wait now. We'll find a nice 6 or my name isn't 3 Cooper.
Now come right in, Mr. and Mrs. Cooper. Come right in and sit down and tell me just what you're looking for.
Well, Mr. Lawrence, we need 6 or 7 rooms and a fairly modern house in a nice neighborhood.
I see.
And the most important thing is that it has to add up to 6.
Of course, it has to add up to...
I beg your pardon?
The most important thing is that the address has to add up to 6.
Oh. Oh? It's numerology.
Yes, I'm 3 and George is 5.
Really? I'll be 34 on my next birthday. Congratulations.
George. You see, Mr. Lawrence, we have to have a house that vibrates right for us.
Oh, well, I have just the thing. Down by the railroad tracks. This house vibrates all the time.
Mr. Lawrence, you are being very difficult.
Let me handle this, Liz.
But I have the list all made out. Now, Mr. Lawrence, I'll read you the addresses and you see if any of them are available.
This kid should be kept in escrow.
Is there anything at 213 Maple?
Yes, there is.
See, George? Do you think we'd like to live there?
Well, I don't know about you, but your husband will be crazy about it.
Why do you say that?
213 Maple is the YWCA.
Oh.
Hey, maybe we better go have a look at it.
Never mind. I have lots of other numbers, Mr. Lawrence.
Oh, good.
How about 510 Kenmore?
510 Kenmore.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. 510 is a vacant lot. I have one at 830 Kenmore. Will that do?
No, that number isn't right.
Well, maybe if you ask them, they'll drag 830 down to 510.
Liz, this is no way to pick out a house.
I have just one more address, 420 Lake.
An excellent choice. Just the place for you. And I think I can get you in right away.
Oh, really? What sort of a place is it?
The County Insane Asylum.
Oh, my feet. We must have looked at every vacant house in town.
I wish we didn't have to leave this house. I like it.
Well, I wish we didn't either, honey, but...
Who do you suppose that is?
I'll get it.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Oh, hi, Mr. Wood. Honey, it's Mr. Wood from next door. Come on in.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Mr. Wood.
Tell me, how did the house hunting go?
Oh, terrible. We didn't find anything.
Oh. Well, if you really get desperate, you can move in with us.
With your 11 children, we'd really have to be desperate.
How true. What I really came over for was to sell you 2 tickets to the high school carnival Saturday.
High school carnival?
This is going to be a lot of fun. They're having a wonderful fortune teller. He looks into a crystal ball and he tells you what the future holds.
Oh, he's probably some big phony.
Oh, I'll say he is. It's me.
Really? You're going to be a fortune teller?
Oh, yes. I do it for every carnival. Once a year, I change from Benjamin Wood to Zucchini the Grey.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. What kind of an act do you do?
Oh, I do everything. I look into the crystal ball, I read palms, tea leaves, and for 10 cents extra, I talk to departed spirits.
Say, did you ever run into an old goat named Bernice?
Bernice? Who's that?
That's our landlord's wife. He talks to her on the Ouija board.
Oh, no, I'm afraid not. I only pretend, you know.
Well, it's a shame. I'd like to have a few words with that old spook. Wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Do I have an idea?
Liz, I don't like that look in your eye.
But, George, now, if we could have Mr. Wood talk to Mr. Curry and tell him he just had a message from Bernice to lower our rent.
Oh, now, stop it. Curry would never fall for a phony message.
You're right, but I know how to fix it. Suppose he actually hears Bernice's voice.
Well, how?
Bernice is going to be behind the living room curtain. Hello, this is Bernice.
Hey, it might work at that. Will you do it, Mr. Wood?
Zucchini the Great is your servant.
Oh, we'll get Mr. Curry over here tonight. This is the one time I won't mind being called a spook.
Aren't you two ready yet? Mr. Curry's getting impatient.
Oh, we're ready.
Okay, Liz, get behind the curtain.
All right, but you better hurry up. I'm standing right over the floor heater.
Well, you won't have to stand there very long. Mr. Wood, are you all set?
I, Zucchini the Great, am ready. Does this towel look all right on my head?
Yes, but did you have to wear one that you swiped from a hotel?
It's the only one I could find. I got it out of your closet.
Well, here goes. I'll turn the lights down.
Hurry up. This heater's getting hotter all the time.
Okay. Mr. Curry, Zucchini will see you now.
Oh, I'm so excited. Enter! Zucchini of the Far East bids you welcome! Please be seated. I shall contact your departed wife now. Zucchini to Bernice! Zucchini to Bernice! Come in, Bernice! Over! Bernice?
Hello?
That doesn't sound like Bernice.
Hello, you worm.
That's Bernice. Go ahead, speak to her.
All right. Bernice?
Yes?
You don't sound the same as you used to. Are you sick?
Sick, I'm dead.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Tell me, Bernice, are you happy?
Yes, but talk faster. It's awful hot here.
I knew it.
I'm glad you called. I gave you the wrong advice about the Coopers. You know who I mean. That young banker and his gorgeous red-headed wife.
Don't you want to raise their rent?
No, I want you to lower it. Lower it to, say, $75 a month.
Or whatever you say.
Say $50 a month.
Isn't that wonderful news for you, Mr. Cooper?
Yes. Well, I guess she's gone now.
Oh, yes. Bernice has departed.
I guess so.
No, I'm still here. I want you to fix the leak in the roof.
All right, Bernice.
And paint the dining room.
All right.
And redecorate the living room. And add a sun porch. And
you better quit while you're ahead, Bernice.
She's gone.
Real gone.
Oh, but wasn't that exciting? She sounded younger. Dying must have agreed with her.
Well, Mr. Curry, I guess you'll have to lower our rent.
I guess I should, Mr. Cooper. But I'm not going to.
What do you mean?
Hearing Bernice again made me realize how mean she was to me. Oh, I hate that woman. This is my big chance to defy her, and I'm going to do it. I'm sorry, Mr. Cooper, but your rent is raised to $400 a month.
Oh, no!
Good, she heard me!
Liz, guess who that was on the phone? Mr. Curry.
What did he want?
Well, it's been 3 days since he defied Bernice and nothing's happened. And he's so grateful to us for setting him free that he's not going to raise the rent.
Oh, that's too bad.
Too bad?
Yes, I've just been reading this numerology book again and I've been figuring it all wrong. This house doesn't have the right vibrations for us.
My Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. You can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Also, a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.